Mark chapter 4,
verses 35 through 41. And you know, every time you open up your Bible, you can hear and you can think and you can see something totally different. Because we've probably heard this story many times, but I'm going to bring us another perspective about when Jesus is asleep at the stern of the boat and how just an idea of what's going on here and what's facing and the real big question we're going to get to in just a moment of what Christ asked them. But as you can kind of see, the idea of this theme for this series that I'm working on is called The Counselor. And week number one is going to answer the question that Christ asked. He said, "Why are you so afraid?" But I want us to think about this. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to a counseling session. And I've never actually been to a counseling session, but I've had classes at Heritage Christian University in the way that I had learned. And my wife actually participated in a mock counseling session we had as well. Since we lived down in Vernon, they were like, okay, you can interview someone there or have a mock, I think it was three sessions of counseling questions we asked. So when I thought about this, there's a lot of wisdom when you need help to find someone you can confide in to be a listening ear, which can help you find the direction to head in. If you've been to a counseling before, if you know someone, you know a counselor, they'll always ask questions to help you figure out your underlying issues, to help you figure out the pain or your discouragement or the problems of the matter that you're facing. They're trying to help you through the issues. They're trying to help you through what you're facing. And think about this. The counselor asks questions to help you. They ask the big questions. They want to see the big picture, and that's why they ask those questions. So you see, the questions you answer with a counselor, they're not fabricated. They're not false things. They're not lies. They're not things you may tell other people. Well, I'm good today, or things like that. But they're questions that they want you to answer truthfully. And when you answer those questions, they're not fabricated. They're not full of fluff, as we could say. They are true to the heart, honest, when you are answering those questions. That's really interesting to think about, because when we read the gospel, when we think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see Jesus asking many questions over and over and over again. And you see, in fact, he asked well over 100 recorded questions in the gospel. And so what we're going to do in this message series I'm working on is we're going to look at four of the most important questions I believe that Christ has asked us. And let's think about this, by the power of His Spirit to be our counselor. And so that brings us to that to think about what we're going to discuss. So today the first question is for those that you may be in the middle of a trial, the kind of storm you're going through in your life. We're going to ask, and we're going to see the question Jesus asked in the Scripture in Mark chapter 4. Why are you so afraid? And we'll also see the next question. Next opportunity we'll have to study for those of you who maybe need a miracle. Or you're in a tough spot and you need the power of God or a touch from God because you feel like you can't do something on your own. We're going to see Jesus ask the question, do you believe I can do this? And so the next questions are these. The third question is going to ask this. We'll really speak to those who have an ongoing challenge. Maybe a habit that you can't break. Maybe a physical problem you can't overcome. Maybe a reoccurring sin. Jesus asked a question that on the surface, it seems so obvious to us. But when we dig beneath the surface, it's really a profound question. He asked, do you want to be well? In week 3 when we discuss this. And the fourth question we're going to be dealing with is one of the biggest challenges, I believe, in the church today. And yet one of the least talked about subjects for those of us who have spiritual doubts. And we're going to see Jesus ask the question, why do you doubt? And so that's why I want to intro, kind of the idea of what this series is going to be about. And it's a work in progress. I'm developing as we go along. But today, let's get through the context of Mark chapter 4. And we're going to see Jesus was actually teaching from a boat. And maybe this boat was pulled up on shore. And you've got a lot of people gathered around, as we see in Mark chapter 4. And he says to his disciples, let's leave the crowd and go to the other side of the sea. And the boat, which could have been considered his pulpit, is to become his sermon illustration. And so that brings us into the Scriptures now. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 37, first off. He said, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. In 36, leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boats, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat where you thought about it sinking, I personally have not really even been on a boat but one time, and I was nervous the whole time. But the really fun part is how many of you have been on one of these before? When you think about a plane, when we went on our honeymoon back in September of 2015, I was a nervous wreck because I had the fear and the idea, because all the movies I've ever watched, they face turbulence and they're going down. So I was a nervous wreck. Katie literally was having to hold my hand like a little baby. And I also had to take with it. It's not Dramamine, it's Dramamine. But every time I've heard it, because I'd be a big drama queen when I took Dramamine. So, but I thought about that, and I thought about how they're on this boat, and then this storm arises, as we see in verse 36 and all. But if you've ever seen a movie, there's massive turbulence. And you may not be willing to get on a plane, but we got on a plane, and my first three thoughts were fear, I'm going to die, and I'm afraid that I don't know what's going to happen if I'll ever see land again. And I was nervous is another one, but fright really set in. And it's kind of the same situation we see here in the boat in Mark. And it's the same situation where they're thinking, well, this is the end. And they're also thinking they're in a massive pandemic, and they're thinking we're going to drown is what they think. And that brings us back to the scripture here in verse 38. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? See, here's the fright in their voice. Here's the question here. Do you not care that we're perishing? They're afraid for their lives because of the storm that arose. And verse 39, and he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea. Most translations, I use the New American Standard this time, but most translations say peace. But the New American Standard said hush. But just think about it when Christ said peace, be still. And we see in verse 40, we see, he said to them this, why are you so afraid? And I learned now after I gave Sandra half my screens that for some reason they're all messed up tonight. So we'll just ignore some of the song or some of the slides. But why are you so afraid? He's thinking to them, okay, guys, I'm on the boat. You need to think about how you've seen me do great things. Why are you freaking out? Then he says, do you have no faith? The disciples then, in verse 41, we see here, then they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And I want to share some information as I thought about the Sea of Galilee. It's about 680 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by all these mountains. And so according to the studies that I did to think about this, it's a perfect place for a storm to just blow up out of nowhere. And so when we think about it, it's very common for a storm to explode in the Sea of Galilee with very little warning at all. And it's kind of like our summers in Alabama. We can literally just have a storm come, or kind of like our weather. We'll never know. In the morning it may be 30, in the afternoon it'll be 70. Things like that. But throughout the years, I thought about how we've been hit with serious weather and serious tornadoes. And last year we had one come through Vernon. And my wife and I were hiding with our dog underneath the metal stairs in the church as we waited for the storm to come through. But the storm went up Highway 17, and it took out a small little local airport they had, and then a tire shop between Vernon and Sullivan. But you know the thought I want us to think about with that? It's terrifying feeling when you don't know what's about to happen. When it sounds like the wind is so strong and the rain is beating on your house or on the church or building or any kind of building, when you're inside of a home, when a massive storm comes out of nowhere. And what is interesting when we think about it, if you recall, when Brother Gary Bradley was here, it makes me think about his metaphor that he used. Most of us are either going into a storm, we're going through a storm, or we're coming out of one. So when we think about this, out of nowhere, storms arise, and we have to face them. We can't just flee from them. When they arrive, we must realize what is happening and that God is on the move within our lives, and He'll never leave or forsake us. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 this morning, Tony Jr. read it, and I thought about it even more because it's one of a great encouraging scripture within the Old Testament, because it tells us, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He doesn't say, well, you go on and I won't be there with you. He says He goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you, as it finishes verse 6. Just to think about how He will never fail us or forsake us. What's always interesting to me is sometimes when we get a little personal is when church people, when we think about it, are sometimes the best at hiding the storms that they're in or that we're in. Some of you might right now look totally fine. And you might be thinking, behind that smile, you're in the middle of a storm. And maybe nobody even knows about it. In fact, there's several times when people are jealous of other people. And you think, well, somebody may have thought about, well, hey, man, I wish I had their house. But then this person's thinking, well, I'm two payments behind on that house. If you only truly know the private storm that I'm in. Sometimes people look at someone and they're like, well, man, I wish I had the marriage they had. They're so devoted to one another. And they're jealous of what other people have. And you're thinking, well, you have no idea. We fake it on the outside, but on the inside, man, we are hanging in by a thread. Even the pressure of a lot of good things, sometimes it just feels like it's way too much. And even though you're blessed in many different ways, you think there's no way I can keep going at that pace. And so you put on the smile, and yet on the inside, you're in a storm no one knows about. And so let's think about it. Let's just think about these ideas this evening. It could be that you're facing or enduring a big storm. Or it could be you're facing or enduring a small storm in your life. Or even, it could be that you're facing or enduring a storm that's about to come. Or it could be even in the life of someone near to you that is facing a storm. So when we think about it, but how many of us would say right now, or somebody close to you is in the middle of a storm right now? Think about that question this evening. You know, so many of us in our lives, we are in the middle of things we just didn't see coming or would never have ever chose. So what I want to specifically do this evening with this story, as Jesus asked these piercing questions, I want to show you specifically two things to remember when you're in the storm. Two things to remember and embrace when we're facing these things. And the first one is this. You're in the storm with the presence of our God. You're in the storm with the presence of our God. And so when we think about this, we're going to go back to verse 37 and 38. And it says, a fierce gale wind or a furious squall, another translation says, came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. But we see in verse 38, Jesus was where? Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. So Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was present with these people, but yet they freaked out. They got scared or afraid of what was about to happen. And here's what I want us to think about, is when this happens so often, I believe a lot of people think this. Okay, wait a minute. I think I'm okay. I'm with Christ. There shouldn't be a storm in my life. I'm dedicated to Him. I gave my life to Him. Therefore, it should be smooth sailing for the rest of my life. And so oftentimes we see that people get this idea or they get it wrong and then they get discouraged because we have to tell ourselves that that's just not true. That's not. In fact, Jesus said, as we know in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So when we think about this, Jesus never promised if you come to Him, life will be easy and it will be storm free. Literally, we see here in John chapter 16, verse 33, He didn't say, hey, in this world, you're not going to have any kind of trouble. You're not going to face any kind of trials. You're going to just glide on down the road on easy street. He didn't say that at all. He said, in this world, we're going to have trouble. But He tells us straightforward. He says, to take heart. I asked a question to the pew packers earlier, and I said, what does God look at that man doesn't look at? And most of the time, we know man looks at our physical being, but God looks at our heart. So it's interesting to think Christ says here, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You see, Christianity is not a playground, but a battleground between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. Because it's often the opposite of what we see here. When you move from the darkness to the light, suddenly you step into the middle of the spiritual battle. And when you step into the side of the light, suddenly darkness is against you and you will face opposition. You will face temptation and there will be spiritual warfare. And to just think, just because I'm with Christ or just because I'm with Jesus, there should nothing go wrong is a distortion of the message of the gospel. In fact, God never ever promises us that just because Jesus is on the boat, that the storms will never rock us. What He promises us is the storm will never sink us. It may rock us from to and fro, but it will never sink us. It's what He promises. And because God is for us, God is with us, and there's nothing that can take us out of the presence of God, Jesus was in the stern, as we read. He was on the boat, and that's a total game changer when we look at the Scriptures here. And so every now and then, when we think about that, some of us, you're going to be in the middle of a storm, and it's going to get really, really bad, and people are going to look at you, and they're going to say things like this. Well, how are you getting through that? They're going to question you on what you're facing. How are you enduring this? Have you ever heard that question before? Or how come your world's falling apart and yet you're not falling apart as well? How come everything's going wrong and yet you still have this quiet confidence? And the last question, why is it that you're in the middle of a storm and there's this deep assurance? And all I can think about when we kind of think about this is you're going to be able to tell them this if you have your trust in Christ and you have your relationship with Christ. Just to think about, because there's someone living in my house. You see, there's something in my house and it's not just life, but it's the author of life that lives within my home. And your homes, when we think about that, you'll be able to tell them, you see, His presence is with me. His presence is with you and I. I can sense His strength. I can sense His presence. I can sense His power. I can sense His comfort because He is with me. And so we see here, Jesus is in the boat. But yet when we take that and affirm and take that scripture to heart, He should be within our heart or within our houses as well. Just because I'm in a storm doesn't mean that He's not with me. And so when we think about this, I want to share a thought with you as we kind of come to our second point this evening. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. It's a statement to think about. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. And I thought about some scriptures for us to tie in and to kind of think about. On the screen, we'll see a couple that I've kind of thought about personalizing and adding it to make about. But if you will, turn with me to Psalms 46, verse 1. Be our first scripture this evening. Psalms 46, verse 1. And this is kind of, we see here, we kind of see what he's talking about. He says, God is my refuge, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we see on also in verse 8. And 9, he said, and 10. We see, come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh war to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. But in verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted among the earth. But in verse 1 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God, made me think about how the scripture says, peace, be still. And so Christ was saying, why are you afraid when you're here with the Son of God? But I thought about verse 46, and I thought about how we could take it and internalize and personalize it, because we take it and say, God is my refuge. God is your refuge. He is our strength. He is my strength. He is your strength. He is my ever-present help in a time of trouble. He is with me in the storm. And another verse also is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For ye have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we see here in Hebrews 13, verse 5, another way to personalize this scripture is, never will my God leave me. Never will my God leave you. Never will He forsake me. Never will He forsake you. So when we see this, I thought about one more verse that we could look at and one more scripture. And that's Psalms 23. You know, oftentimes we share this and we think about the scripture, and far too often we share it at funerals. And we share it at things just with that. We often center it around that. But it should be a time of comfort and a time of showing things that are going on, because the Lord is my shepherd is the claim we should have. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. There he goes with a metaphor again about peace. He goes there with a metaphor about being still there. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so to think about that, we talk about the shadow or the valley of the shadow of death, and to personalize that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you see, we're not going to be staying there. We're not going to just sit there. We're going to be walking through. And when you're walking through, it says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my God is with me. personalize that. Take that to heart, because Psalms 23 means so much more than when we just shared, when we've lost a loved one, when we just think about those opportunities, because it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But we see here, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there should be so much more comfort and so much more things going on here. And so I want us to think about, He never ever promised that the storm wouldn't rock you. He promised that the storm wouldn't sink you. And you see, He's in my house. He's in our house, church. He's on the boat. And when we think about it, we are not alone in the middle of the storm we're facing. And I pray tonight that we find comfort, no matter what you're going through, that you are in the storm, but you also know that you're in His presence, as we saw. And the second thing this evening is this. You're in the storm with His presence, and you're in the storm for His purpose. You're in the storm with His presence, but you're in the storm for His purpose. Think about it. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So whose idea was it? Well, this is an obvious question. We see here, it was Jesus' idea. He said, let's go to the other side. Let's reach out. Because why was He talking or taking them the other side? Well, Jesus was God in the flesh, and He knew on the east side of the river, east side of the sea, excuse me, was a guy that was hurting himself because he was possessed with an evil spirit. And Jesus was taking His disciples to the other side, and Jesus was going to speak healing into this man's life. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, knew that there would be storms that would blow up. Jesus knew that He was taking the disciples on the boat into and through a storm. He knew what was going to happen. He was going to take them into the storm, but also going to see them through it. So whose idea was Jesus' idea, and who knew they were going to be going through a storm? Thinking about this, I wanted to share. I cannot tell you if God caused this storm or did God allow the storm, but I can tell you that God always uses a storm to do work on the inside for us. And in fact, I think when we think about this, I believe with all my heart, that's why James could say something so powerful in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. And he says, James, brother of Jesus, in verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it all joy. Consider it pure joy." In other words, move from the state of worship within your soul so you're full of joy. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." We see there. And wait a minute, though. That sounds pretty ridiculous to think about what's being said here. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." He's saying you rejoice in the middle of your storms. That's what James says. And he said, well, we could ask why. In verse 3, we say, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." There's a song that our youth group is learning now, and it has a mix of about 4 songs. And one song, it says, "I will praise you in this storm, no matter where you are," and things like that. Because just when we think about the idea of praising God, even when we're facing these obstacles, we see in verse 3 that it's the testing of our faith that produces endurance. So some of you right now, you're in the middle of a test. And a good teacher, as we know Christ is, why does a good teacher test you? To pass you and to promote you, right? And at the end of the year, when you take the final exam, and if you pass the test, you move to a next level. And God in His love may be allowing you to experience something right now, even testing your faith, to promoting to another level of your belief in Him. And the faith produces perseverance. And something living inside of you, in verse 4 we see, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So we see here in the Scriptures, well, how does this apply to us, or how can we take this home? The reality is you have to just call it like this. It's in our church, we have a lot of people who are very young in the faith when we think about it, and we need some maturing. Well, how does God mature us? How does God mature us? And it's in many different ways. He matures us as we get to know His Word, or He renews our minds. And another way is He matures us as we discover our spiritual gifts and we make a difference in someone else's life. And also, He matures us as we go through certain storms so that God does something in us. In fact, some of you, I would say the difference between where you are and where God ultimately wants you to be is a storm that you've not yet encountered or endured. And I don't know, many of you may know someone who just has a rock solid faith, or they're rock solid in their faith. Well, I can promise you that they've been through storms. They've been through things. They've been through bouts to be able to have that rock-solid faith that you see. I know my aunt, she is 72, I believe, now. And I've saw nothing but a godly woman most of my life. And so I thought about, well, she knows about the faithfulness. She knows about her faith because she's been tested when she lost her husband. She's been tested when she faced over these things. She's been tested now with what she's going through. But we think about how we may look at other people and think, well, they've got it all together. They've got the faith that can conquer mountains. But they've had to go through the storm to get there, to develop that faith. And they know His presence. They've learned that His purpose is in every single storm, that God is often doing something in us and teaching us something in the middle of a storm that we couldn't learn from any other way. When you and I are in the middle of a storm, I'm here to tell you, in the storm you face, Jesus is with you on the boat. The disciples have not yet got there, so they're panicking and they're thinking, okay, Jesus, we're going to drown. And they're like, wake up, Jesus, wake up, please. Do you not care that we're perishing or we're going to die or things like that? But what does Jesus do in verse 39? Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind. And I don't know if He was just like, okay, just peace, be still, or how He did it. But just to think how incredible it would be to see a storm approach and then our Savior stop it after those men saying, well, okay, what's going on here? But He rebuked the wind and He says, peace, be still. That's some self-confidence in who He claims to be and who He claims His Father is. And they're just like, well, the wind dies down, it's completely calm. But He asked that question again. Why are you so afraid? Don't you remember me opening the eyes of the blind? Don't you remember me healing deaf ears? Don't you remember that I'm the author of life with you? And I want us to look back at in our Bibles at verse 40 and 41. And we'll look back there. And He said to them in Mark chapter 4, verse 40 through 41. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? That's a pretty tempting, that's a question that could be pretty scary to us. Because He asked them, why are you afraid? Do you not have any faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? What happened? And I want you guys to notice what we see here, church. Notice that they called Him, teacher, teacher, do you not care that if we drown? Teacher, teacher. At this point, Jesus was just a teacher to them. But the fear of the storm started to grow into them, a holy fear of the Lord. Well, and they're like, well, who is this? What's going on? This is amazing. He stopped a storm. The fear of what might have happened to them transferred into this, a holy, all-filled fear of the Lord God. So when we think about this, why are you so afraid? Is the question for us to think about this evening. If you're a follower of Jesus, I'm going to ask you this. Why are you so afraid? Have you forgotten? You're in the storm with the presence of God. And He's for you, with you, working all things to bring the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose in Romans 8:28. We see here. You're in the storm with His presence. You're in the storm for His purpose. So why are you so afraid? What makes you so fearful? In the middle of the storm, you can be afraid because the boat looks like it's going to sink. But suddenly your hope is no longer in the boat. Your hope should be to see that your soul is anchored in the Lord. And that changes everything. You see, we often are afraid of so much. And it can be paralyzing and ongoing fear. But our hope is no longer in the boat. You see, we often are, when we think about this, our soul is anchored with the Lord because He is our boat, on our boat, and not the boat. He is in our house. He dwells within us. He is with me. He is with you. He is for us. Therefore, He has not given us a spirit of fear in God, and He would do a healing work as we see here. But think about this. He has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. But the question is, why are you so afraid when Jesus is with you in the boat? Jesus is with you in this storm. We have to realize that we're in His presence in God, and He would do a healing work, and especially for those who are enduring maybe in a more severe storm than anything we've talked about this evening. This evening, as we come to a close, I want us to think about as we offer God's invitation. If you feel like tonight that you're in a storm right now, you're in this idea of it. If you're a follower of Jesus, Why are you afraid of the things that you're facing? And so when we think about it, God's invitation this evening is to think about, if we pray for you, if these storms that you're facing would pass quickly, that there would be healing, there would be wholeness, that there would be forgiveness, and there would be restoration. That these storms would be still, but even more so, that we would be know of the everlasting presence and glory of our Son, of His Son, Jesus. And as we come to a close right now, I want us to think about it. That you're in a storm, but you're not in a storm with Jesus. You're in a storm on your own. And what I believe with all of our heart is the goodness of God through His Son Jesus wants to confront us and wants to go through the storm with us in the place of eternal security that we cannot have apart from Him. And I want us to think about as we come to a close, even when we feel like the solid ground is falling out from underneath our feet, that we still know Christ is present with us. Even when between the black skies and the red eyes you may have, that you may be able to barely see, Christ is still there with you. When you've realized you may have been sold out by possibly your friend and family, that God is still with us. When our hopes and dreams feel so far from you, that God is still with you and Christ is still with us. When you feel like you're running out of faith, Jesus asked him and said, "Why do you have no faith? Why are you so afraid?" He wants us to say, even when you're feeling these ways, that you can turn to Him. Oftentimes we see the future, we picture it slowly fading away when we lose sight of what the faith is we have in Christ and what faith we have in God. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down, those are the opportunities when Christ wants you to grow closer and to seek Him in the storms you face. We should find that peace in the Jesus name, because Christ, He literally said, "Peace, be still." And He found peace within that storm, even when all else were frightened and afraid. Some of you right now may not recognize your need for Him. The reality is, whether in a storm or not, we all need Him because of our sinfulness that separates us from our God. But in His love, His mercy, our God is so good, and it's called the Gospel. We know about the Gospel, as you know about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we know about the story that's told about the Savior. It's good news, and that's because God became one of us in persons of His Son. Jesus, who was born without sin, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was raised again so that anyone who calls on His name would be saved. No matter who you are, what you've done, how bad your storm is, so you could call to Him. He'll forgive your sins and He'll dwell within us. You'll find comfort and power in His presence and the Holy Spirit, and you'll never be alone again. And the last thing I want us to share this evening is this. If you aren't a child of God, maybe this evening you're saying, "Well, God, I hear what the words of your scriptures say. And God, I believe in what I've learned throughout the scriptures and throughout my studies." And maybe you say, "Well, God, today is the day that I turn my life to you and repent of my sins." When I thought about it, well, God, I believe you may be feeling that way as well, and confessed Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But think about it. My hope is not in the boat today. Today I put my faith in you. You may be feeling like that if you're not a child of God. As we offer this invitation song, I want you to leave with these simple thoughts. In the eye of a storm, God remains in control. In the middle of the war, He guards our soul. He alone is the anchor when our sails are torn. His love surrounds you and I in the eye of the storm. Tonight, if you feel like you're facing a storm of life and you feel like you can't get above water, or you feel like you're fearful like the disciples were, why not let us pray for you? If you're a child of God, why not let us pray for you? Or if you are not yet a child of God, why not make that decision and quit facing those storms alone? Face them with your church family. Face them with God at the helm, as we see. If there's any need at all, we're going to sing this invitation song. And if we can help you at all, why not come as we stand and as we sing.